Well, good morning. Welcome to Combined Sunday School. If you weren't here last week for Sunday School, just a kind of a reminder of what Sunday School looks like today and the next couple weeks, just keep coming to this room. So come to this room next week. We'll have a quick opening time, and then the younger teens will be dismissed for a separate class next week. But still come here to begin Sunday School next week. One quick announcement before we begin, and that is for teens, so middle school, high school students. We have an afterglow tonight, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Please make sure your ride is here at 8 o'clock. 6 to 8. Now, what should you bring? You should bring clothes to play in. Well, we're going to have Nerf War going on, so if you have a Nerf gun, you're welcome to bring that. We'll have plenty of Nerf foam darts and all that. And then if you want to bring a board game or a card game, teens, to do that in here, that'd be great as well. But that's 6 to 8 tonight, Teen Afterglow. Well, as we've been announcing for a few weeks, this is our candidate weekend for Willie Felderman. And if you haven't yet met Willie, I hope you will today. Some of you got to meet him yesterday, or you've maybe gotten to know him over the past few years. Willie grew up in Iowa. After graduating from Faith Baptist Bible College in Iowa, he has served now as the program director at Iowa Regular Baptist Camp for the last number of years. But I think his claim to fame is that he is married to Lindy, formerly Shepherd Felderman. And they have a two-year-old son, Noah. And so we've been obviously very prayerful and excited for this weekend, excited to hear Willie teach. He'll be teaching this morning during this time, as well as giving a brief greeting during the morning service, and then teaching again in the afternoon service at 1 o'clock. So I trust you'll give him your attention and that the Lord will use him as he proclaims truth. So Willie, thank you very much for being here. Come on up. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Pastor Ross called me. He said, hey, any chance Lindy could come out? And you could come teach while you're here. And Lindy is really my only qualification I have to be here. And so glad you made it out on snowy morning. I have I'll kind of sprinkle these throughout the morning, just some random things about me. And I love talking to people. I'm like a golden retriever embodied into a person. And Lindy hates, well, she doesn't hate it, but she kind of does. We'll go to the mall. We go to Jordan Creek Mall in Iowa. It's like the biggest mall in Iowa, which is not that big. And I, because I work at a camp that people from all over the state come to, I always know somebody. And most people, when they see somebody they kind of know, just kind of pretend like they didn't see them and keep going. Like Lindy was like trying not to make eye contact with people when we're in the mall, just like, let's go do this. And I am looking at every face in the mall to find someone I know. And I could not even know their name, right? Not even know their name, but recognize them from hundreds of yards away. And I will stop what I'm doing. Hey! And I've got to go say hi to them, right? And Lindy will like grab me, like, don't yell at them. Don't yell at them. And I just love talking to people. Another thing, I saw somebody on their like Twitter bio. They put just the word enthusiast. Like not like a coffee enthusiast, like a running enthusiast, just like enthusiast. It's like, that is me. Like I just love things, like all kinds of things. And I'm like Owen Shannon in that, like, I will become obsessed at something with something and get really good. And then I'll move on to something else. And so it was Rubik's Cubes and yo-yos and euphonium and running, you know, just all kinds of things, just an enthusiast. So I'm a passionate person. Okay, here we go. I hit the genetic jackpot, okay? I'm 6'3 and 3/4. I always wanted to be 6'4". So I was super disappointing my last physical in college. I've kind of been joking, but I don't mean this to be super serious. I was born totally deaf, and so I had surgery when I was 3. So I have about a third of normal hearing, so I do wear hearing aids, and I've worn them my whole life. And but it's given me all kinds of different opportunities that I would never have had otherwise. And so that's and then here's the other thing, and this will distract you for the every time you ever hear me speak ever again. And I'm sorry, but I have one hand that's bigger than the other. So yeah, that is not funny. How dare you laugh at that, Carrie? That's just messed up. Anyway, there you go. So I've got one hand bigger than the other. And what's funny is like between those two things, like my probably my favorite thing in life to do is play piano. And so I have a little hand and I can't hear, which is why I'm not that good of a pianist. But I love piano. So I was a band nerd in high school and even at my church, I lead worship and I often will play the piano. So I love that. So there's just a few of my favorite things. And so one of the things that I it's kind of weird. In the last 2 years in the state of Iowa, I've become like the social media expert. And all I've done is read one more book than the next guy. And so I'm really not that, but I've gotten to think about it a lot. And I've interacted with teens for the last 10 years in a camp setting. And so I've got to observe a lot of different things. And so I was asked this last fall to speak at a youth conference on, they said, take teens to the Word of God that would change their perspective on how they live life. So not just social media, but kind of aim toward that a little bit. And this afternoon, I'm preaching on John 15. That is a new thing for me. I'm excited to do it, to open that text. That's a new sermon. This is one, just full disclosure, I'm just recycling it from another conference. But I think you'll like it. And this was part two of a series. So what I did with every session was we went back to the beginning. How did God design us? And if you look at Genesis 1 through 3, every little detail says something about what God intended for us and what we're like and what men are like and what ladies are like. And so it's like, it's so helpful in seeing, okay, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to be like? And the first session was on the body. Just God cares about your body. Especially like we live in like a culture where actually, the body just continues to be minimized as unimportant. You can work remotely, so like not even your work, you being there is important. They just want your mind attached to a keyboard. But like we're in an age where like exercise and eating right are just like declining, not getting sleep. Anyway, God designed us to just take care of what He's given us. And your body is so important, and it radically impacts the rest of your life. And so that's session one, okay? You have to vote a certain way if you want to hear me preach session one, okay? No, I shouldn't even say that, sorry. Okay, session two, and this is where we're at, is God designed us for relationships? From the very beginning, you see, God wanted to emphasize that time with people is good. And He wants us to do that. So I'm so sorry. I picked a few people to act out as animals for me. If you're one of my animals, come on up. And I want you to line up right over here. Okay. Yep. Come on over here. You're right here. Okay. And I had no idea who I was asking. Like, maybe you guys don't like being in front of people. So I'm sorry if that's true. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to pick a partner because they came in twos. Okay, can you pick a partner? They came in twos. Yep. Chad, grab a partner because they came in twos. Okay. So that is what makes logical sense, but maybe they don't want it. But yeah, head on over there. Head over there. Yep. Thank you, Carissa. So in the very beginning, God created everything, and He declares the first thing that is not good. Do you remember what the first thing that God said is not good in Genesis? Go ahead and shoot up your hand. I'm looking for, yeah, Josh. Yeah. You know, he says right away, first thing, it is not good that Adam is alone. And just right off the bat, you can see, like, this is pre-sin. Okay? So it doesn't have to be sin that you're alone. But in general, God said right from the beginning, like, that's not good that you are isolated and by yourself. Okay, so now we're going to act this out. I'm Adam, and you guys are the animals. You haven't been named yet, so don't tell me your name. Okay? And God gave Adam the task of naming the animals. And so the animals would come before him. So, all right, first up, come on over here. I need some more. I'm not sure I know what you are. Oh! All right, I will name you Lion. You're Mighty Lion. Yep, good job. You go. You go. You're with him. You're a lion. Okay, next up. Next up. Well, you sound like a person impersonating a dog. Oh, yeah. Good boy. Good boy. All right, you're a dog. Oh, I love dogs. I love dogs. All right, come on down. Come on down. Whoa, 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 whoa. A toothy cow. Okay. All right, so you're a cow. Good job, good job. Okay. All right, last one here. Oh! I know. I'll give you a big name for a big boy. You're an elephant. Okay. All right, thank you, thank you. So Adam, right away, God gives him this job to name the animals, which that was a big job. Shows Adam was really smart and creative, which is cool. And it's interesting. God says, the way the Genesis account goes, it says it's not good that man should be alone. And then there's like a break, and then he creates Eve. Like, you kind of expect him to say it's not good for man to be alone. And so right now, I'm bring Eve to you right now. But God intentionally declares that and says, all right, I'm going to bring every possible companion there could be in the world before you. Okay? And every animal came before Adam. And, like, this is pre-fall. And so these dogs are not just, like, good boys. They're really good boys. Okay? And this is the best dog you've ever had. This is not a Jack Russell Terrier. Okay, sorry, Jack Russell Terrier owners. Like, this is an amazing dog that Adam had. And it was not fit to be his companion. You know, he had a lion come by, and at the time, the lion would not have threatened to eat him. Like, how cool would that have been to have a lion as your buddy, but not fit for Adam? And it goes through all of these animals. God brings every possible friend in all of creation before Adam. And it really gets to the conclusion, what? None of them are a good fit. None of them are a right fit. And so God, and there's so much more that can be said about this, but so God creates Eve. And he brings Eve to Adam. And I think part of what God is trying to do with Adam was to say, this is different than all of creation, okay? In all of creation, animals just get together, mate, and move on, right? It's just like, this is purely business. Like, this is purely business and instincts. But right from the beginning, God wanted to show Adam, like, this is not something to take for granted, that there are other people, that there's another person. Like, this is not assumed. If God would have made Eve right at the same time, probably we would have just assumed, like, well, it's just, yeah, they're here with me, and what's the big deal, right? And so not only relationships are not something to just be assumed as just part of life, it's not something to be begrudged. It's a gift from God. Like, he just made it super clear, like, this is awesome. And Kevin and I share this in common. I actually went to school to be an English teacher, okay? And so I really enjoy poetry, some poetry. And right at the beginning of this, like, Eve is created and Adam declares the very first poetry in all of Scripture. Okay, what does that say? He was pumped. He loved, like, it's like, yes! Like, one of me, but not me. You know, and what's interesting about Eve is not just a one-to-one companion, although she is, and shares the image of God. But in the way God designed her, she would be part of making a bunch of people. And so Eve is not just like my one companion. It's like, this is the start of community. There's going to be a bunch of us spending time together. Amazing. And when you think about it, God could have designed, like God, he's trying to make it the best that he possibly can. So God could have sent a fairy to be Adam's companion that floats with him wherever he goes. Okay. He could have given Adam a dragon to ride. Okay. And that they're in sync. And he could have given him an AI companion, which I'll talk about here in a little bit. Okay. There's a robot that goes with him, but he didn't. He didn't make any of those things for Adam. He made another person. And that is good. And actually it says in Genesis, it was very good. And it's interesting, right from the beginning, you have this beautiful picture of male and female beginning to create a wonderful community, okay, together. So then, in the end, one of my favorite verses, I think I mentioned this verse last time I was here for when I did a presentation on social media, Zechariah 8:3-5. And for sake of time, I'll summarize it. Christ is reigning on the throne in Jerusalem, and everything is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, everything is the way that he wants it to be. He's in charge. And it says this, that in Jerusalem we'll have old men and old women sitting together with staff in hand because of great age, and there'll be boys and girls playing in the streets. And so a couple things you see right away at the very end of all of everything is it's a bunch of people together hanging out. It's everybody together. You got boys and girls out playing, having fun, old men and old women sitting together. And if I know old men and old women, they're telling a bunch of stories about how hard it was growing up and how these kids in the kingdom have it so easy. You know, and I grew up in the fall. You just don't get it. Okay. And they're enjoying it. They're together. And another just like sidebar, it's old men and old women, and it's boys and it's girls. And all of, from the beginning to the end, there's this wonderful celebration of both men and women together as friends, spouses, siblings. There's both. And one like small thing that, As I've been working at camp the last few years, just seeing more and more of, is you see this serious separation of guys and girls. And not like on my end, you know, obviously like, you know, there's a side like, hey, you know, no purple. That's like a classic like youth ministry term. Like, hey, we're not just trying to pair off. But it's not that. It's like boys, even as they get older, like, ooh, girls. Like I can't even be around them, and girls are over here, and one small observation. I think part of that is our culture has hyper-sexualized every relationship, and if I am friends with a guy or friends with the girls because I want to marry them, or whatever, and that's not true. Okay, and if you look at the New Testament ministry, you see Jesus and Paul, both friends with ladies in ministry. Okay, that's a total sidebar. If you want, we can talk about that another time. But God designed us for relationship from the very beginning and to the very end. And so everything in between, so if that's the way God intended it to be, or that's the way God intended it to be when he created it, and this is how God is going to put it together at the very end, I think we can pretty strongly say everything in the middle, we gotta be friends. And enjoy friendship and relationship, companionship, community, because that's the way God has designed it. But we, again, we live in an age where, man, we are like, it's like you pull into your garage, you don't even have to step outside and see your neighbor, walk into your house, and you can never see anybody. Okay. We've moved from a front porch culture to a back deck culture. Okay. And we've got to fight that. Okay. We've got to fight that. This is primarily aimed at teens. This is who my original audience is, but I'm going to make a couple of other things to not to teens, but just trying to say this as simply as I can. Okay. This is not super theological sounding. Spending more time with people will make your life better. Spending more time with people is going to make your life better. Okay. And so if I've got a choice to make between spending time with somebody or spending time with nobody, it will be better if you choose to spend your time with somebody. And that's a truth that we've got to preach to ourselves, because we naturally don't want to do that. Right. And so here's why this matters. Just like in practical terms, teens today are spending less time with people than ever before, and they're less happy. Okay. God wants you to hang out with people. We see that in Zechariah. Have fun with people. Okay. He wants you to talk with people. It's the only way you can obey the New Testament commands of one another. You got to talk to people and to serve people. Titus, okay, has a ton of helping people out. Okay. But there are some objections that thankfully, Paul especially deals with, that people have about spending time with people. And so you can go and turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll be in two different texts today. It'll be 1 Corinthians 12 and then Colossians 3. But 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at two big lies, or two big kind of obstacles that people might have towards spending time with people. And going to see what God's word has to say about in response to these things. One of the things that we've all got to get a hold of, that I've got to get a hold of, is that the only way that we're going to change the way that we live is if God's word changes how I think. And the only way I'm going to change how I live is if God's word changes how I think. And so we've got to come to the word. What does it say? What does it say? And I need to believe it. If I don't believe it, am I going to do it? No. Okay, so I've got to believe it. And so what I'm going to say, hopefully will help you to believe it some, but you've got to go read this for yourself and so you can believe it. So first, 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. I'll actually read the whole section, and then we'll go back and make some observations. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. I've got a few things that we can think about relationships. That 1 Corinthians 12 that Paul completely debunks. Verses, I'm better off on my own. I'm better off on my own. Or I'm a king unto himself. I'm a one-man kingdom. And growing up, I heard this quite a bit. Okay, I don't need church. Okay, I don't need to go to church to love Jesus. Okay, I actually am better off doing it by myself. And Paul says, no, you're not. And that's not the way God designed it. Right from the beginning here, it says, you were saved to be part of something bigger than just you. God saved you not to make your life your own, and to make your own life awesome by yourself, but he saved you to be part of something bigger than you that is going to include other people. And even just the illustration of a body becomes grotesque when you think of a body being made up of one member. Like, we're just one giant finger. Weird. Okay. That's not the way God designed the body. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I put that image in your head. Okay. The body is made up of all kinds of different people. Okay. And so in the same way that the body's got to have lots of different parts, so do we. We've got to have lots of different relationships, lots of different people. And what's interesting is we see this kind of toward the end, is that God put it together that way. The people who are here in this room, God arranged it that way. Okay? God arranged it this way, that this person is here, that you are here, that she's here, that he's here. Like, God put that together on purpose, and you've been called to be a part of it, and you're not better off on your own. So in verse 14 or verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. This person here speaking, and I know he's just doing hypothetical, but I can see this person talking. Somebody who says, I don't fit in. I'm not like the rest of the people that are here. Everybody here is good looking and talented, and I'm ugly and dumb. Okay, I don't fit in. Or everyone here is from this part of town, and I'm from the other side of the tracks. Or everybody looks like this, and I look like this, so I don't belong. And Paul says, even if maybe you feel that way sometimes, that doesn't make you any less a part of it. And he kind of, I just love this, because I'm weird. I've got a little hand, and I'm hard of hearing, okay? And I look for people to talk to. I've been told by the word of God that I belong, even with my little hand. Okay? I belong. I do belong. And if you ever have this feeling of doubt, like, do I really belong here? No matter how maybe other people may make you feel, and we're going to talk to that person here a little bit, but regardless of how other people may make you feel, you do belong. God chose you to be part of this. Okay? And so I don't fit in is, it's actually not an excuse. And it's kind of hard to hear, because in some ways I'm speaking to perhaps somebody who's almost a victim of people who have kind of acted like they don't belong, but you do. Okay. And joyfully fight to be part of it. Hey, I get to be here too. Okay. I love it. All right. Next one. And I should have had it on here. I don't have it here. But you don't fit in. Okay. And here's what he says then in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Okay. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Let me keep going to verse 21. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Then our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. One member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Paul here says, you don't get to say you don't fit in. Okay? You don't. If you are from the right side of the tracks, if both your hands are the same size, Carrie, you can laugh, so. If both hands are the same size, you know, if you fit in along with everybody else, you don't get to come along with them and say, but you don't belong here. And God says that's not the way it's supposed to be. And he gives a reason to both people. He said, because we can't do it without you. You bring something different than everybody else does. If we were all the same, then 99% of us would be unnecessary. Okay? There's kind of the quote, if two people agree on this, if two people always agree on everything, one person is unnecessary. Okay? We need different people and we need different opinions. Okay? I'm going to pick on Aaron. Aaron and I, we just like got into a yesterday. Can you believe that? She is spicy. Okay? And if everybody thought exactly the same way I do, then that would not be good. Okay? And so I'm so glad Aaron is spicy and pushes back. You okay? That was fun. Okay? And oh man, that was good. It's good. And not just different opinions, but even different abilities. And Paul kind of addresses that. He's like, part of what God has done is he's put together this body, and there are going to be people who just need a little more help. And when you talk about the body, when you know, okay, so I've got my big right hand and I've got my little left hand, okay? And I play piano and I play basketball, okay? Well, because I've got a little hand, I'm not always able to do the same things with my left that I am my right. And you know what I do? I don't just like get off of me. You know, you can't really do that. But like, I'm done with you. Okay. I help it. I come along, big righty swoops into the rescue and helps little lefty. Okay. Now Carrie feels bad for laughing at me. No, that's good. It helps. And in some ways, because I'm coming in and helping little lefty, I'm showing honor to it. Like, look, I care about you. We're going to make this work. Okay. And big righty says, well, little lefty isn't pulling their weight. They don't deserve this. You know what? That's the way God designed it. God designed the body for big righty to come in and help little lefty. Okay. And for little lefty to bring something to the body that's different than big righty. Okay. Little lefty can reach into a Pringles can perfectly. I can reach to the bottom with this thing. With it, it's just whoop. Okay. It brings something different. I'm sorry. That's why I'm standing up here. Hey. And it's good. It's good. Hey. All right, I gotta keep going here. But if you have this perspective that I don't need it, I don't need to be at church and talk to people and have friends and spend time with people, you do. You do, because you need different perspectives. You need to help people. Okay, it's not just about what you get out of it. We need you. Okay. The body needs you. And you need to be a part of it. And it's good for you. Okay, because you need people challenging you and challenging the way that you think. And we gotta have all of us together. Okay. Again, God puts you where you're at. Okay. You know, sometimes like you go to a church like, man, I wish there were more people like this here. I mean, take it up with God. God arranged it. Okay? And fill in where you can. Colossians 3. I don't want it. Okay? And this is where I don't think many of us would say, oh, I don't want any friends. Okay? But if I were to look at your actions, if you were to look at my actions, often that's what we say. It's like, somebody's talking to me, it's just kind of like, how can I get out of this conversation? Or how can I get away from this as quickly as I can? Yes. God bless you. Wow, you guys are short here. Okay. No, that's good. That's good. I don't want it. Okay. So Colossians 3, here's what it says in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. and be thankful. Okay, this passage is all about relationships. And Paul says, you were called to be part of the body. We already saw that in 1 Corinthians 12. But you were called to be part of something bigger than you. One of the things I love about God is he rarely says, just because. Says, you were called in one body just because. I just want to make your life miserable. Okay? And thank God, he doesn't really do that. Okay? Now, sometimes God asks us to do things that our flesh really doesn't want to do. Okay? But one of the things that I believe with my whole heart, and one of the things I think Paul is implying here when he says, you've been called into one body, and immediately says, and be thankful. Okay? My mom would say to me, you better be thankful for that. I'm sure thankful for that. Okay? But as I've grown up, all of the things that my mom said, you should be thankful for that. I'm like, you're right. My gas was all paid for. I'm thankful for that. I wish I had that now. Okay? Man, I'm thankful for that. I think part of what Paul's doing right here is if you say, I don't want it, he's saying you should want it. And sometimes we just have to obey and choose to be thankful, and our love for it will follow. It's like, you know what? This drives me crazy to spend this much time talking to this person. But you know what? I'm just going to choose. You know what? I'm thankful for this. And I believe as you spend time reading that one verse over and over, as you study the word, and as you pray to God, help me with this, and you have that conversation, you will grow in thankfulness. And you'll just say, you know what? I love this person. You know, if you've ever done that, okay, probably many of us have testimonies of people we did not like at one time who now is like, man, I love that person. Okay, my second week of college, I cannot tell you any of the details of this relationship because I was a total dummy. I was that dumb. I can't even tell you what happened. Okay, and this guy and I, we did not like each other. And he was weird. Okay, he was homeschooled. I was homeschooled, but he was really homeschooled. And just like, dude. And we drove each other crazy. And then my RA assigned me to take him out for lunch. So, hey, you're going to take this guy out to lunch. It's like, really? Then you know, a couple weeks later in the semester, I get a call from, you know, the academic wing of the school. And they say, hey, Willie, we'd like you to tutor a student. I was like, man, I'm smart. They've been finally see how smart I am. And they asked me to tutor somebody. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll tutor this guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. And it's the guy. And it's funny because they're like, before they would tell me his name, and this makes sense. They wouldn't tell me his name until I was like locked in for sure going to do it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And it was the guy. I was like, Lord, what? And I was not perfect in this whole thing. But through over time, it's like, man, I love this guy. And to this day, when I see him, we hug each other. He still is a little weird. I love him. And it's just over time, as we put time into relationship, you do begin to be thankful for it. And here's kind of where I'll wrap this up. Colossians 3, again, is all about relationships. And the other thing that often gets in the way of relationships with people is they don't deserve it. Okay? They have not been kind to me. They only view me as a project. You know, they're running away from me or whatever. There's all kinds of reasons why we would say somebody doesn't deserve it. But the truth is, we see in Colossians 3, neither did you. Neither did you. You did not deserve it, and we see that here in Colossians 3, beginning verse 1. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, which assumes that somebody's bothering you. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you forgive if they deserve it. No, you must forgive. Okay? You must forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And part of what God has called us to do as people is to say, I know they don't deserve it. Neither did I. And I'm going to show mercy and grace to this person as I put on a compassionate heart and I love them. And I let love bind all this together in perfect harmony and the peace of Christ go and rule in my heart. I'm going to be thankful for this person. And what's interesting, just to add some weight to this, and then I'm going to close because we're about to go to our worship service. Notice verse 16, the very familiar verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Right relationships come before worship. And Jesus says the same thing on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. If you've got something wrong in your relationship, you don't come to worship God until you've figured that out. Go right away. Make that work. And then come back and be ready. All right. I'm going to pray. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to getting to know you today. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your wonderful wisdom and placing who you have, where you have, what the abilities they have. Thank you for being the perfect model of this perfect love that we have that we should have for each other. We're gonna drive each other crazy, and we're going to sin against one another. But in the same way that you forgave us, help us to forgive people. And that because we've been called to be part of one body, God, help us to be thankful for that. And that you would change the way that I feel about people so that I would love it. I'd love spending time with people. And we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said together, amen. Thank you.